The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. It may sound a little bit different. It may feel a bit different because right now we're live from Chandler's Ford. Yes, the centre of the UK, official centre of the UK, that is. It was announced yesterday by the mayor. So we've looked into it. He's Welsh, hello, boy. And Chandler's Ford is officially, geographically and culturally, the centre of the UK, ladies and gentlemen.
It's weird to have a Welsh mayor in Chandler's Ford.
And he said, now the Christmas lights are on! And he put them on as well. And even Father Christmas was here. Of all places, Father Christmas was here in Chandler's Ford. Anyway, hello, Pete and Steve.
Are you the mayor?
No.
Oh, okay.
What a mayor. Talking about a mayor.
Yes.
Last night we had, Steve couldn't have said anything more offensive to my wife if he tried. Now, you know, if you think of all the insults in the world, you wouldn't think, are we having a beige buffet, would be up there. But Megan was so offended by that.
Can I just like put that out there for comments? Does anyone else find a beige buffet offensive?
I'd never heard of that before. I've never heard that term.
Is it just a Welsh? It's just a Welsh thing, maybe.
Yeah, it's a Welsh thing. I suppose it is offensive.
Last time we came down, Megan made a nice lasagna, and you even wanted to take it away with you, so it was so nice.
Good.
And I think he was looking forward to that again. So, but we went with friends on the road there, and they had these, you know, it's Marks and Spencer's. It's only the finest. And it's Christmas sort of party food, right? And they had these little pies, which I really liked. They're all different, you know, tiny little pies, probably what, a fifth the size of a normal pie you'd get from a chip shop. But of course, you can eat five more of them, all different flavours. So I really liked that. So get that, Meg. We need to get that. And so Steve is kind of expecting a lasagna.
I wasn't expecting lasagna. Well, I just said, are you making one?
And even Meg said, that's so offensive. If you'd said to her, did I tell you you've always had BO? If you said that to her, that would have been less offensive than saying, are we having a beige buffet? Because she put a lot of effort in that. And then Steve did say, oh my word, I've mortally offended her. But did you enjoy the beige buffet?
It was lovely,
It was lovely, yeah.
But a beige buffet is an offence. That's all the food, well, actually, all the food wasn't beige. But no, generally, when you have sausage rolls and things like that, it's.
There wasn't any sausage rolls.
There was no sausage rolls.
There was, there was mini pies. What was there?
Mini burgers.
Mini burgers.
Beige.
Pork belly.
There's pork bellies.
Beige.
Potato.
Beige.
Potato. And there's the chicken things, don't know what they were.
Beige.
Yeah. But it was nice, you know, and a bit of salad, a bit of olives, and stuff like that. So it was all right, But anyway, you know, Megan's now left the household.
For good.
So I'm not ever dealing with your friends ever again.
Yeah. I'm not invited next time.
I know. Anyway, investing. This is my investing, right? I've got to say, it's probably been the worst 18 months of my investment life in the last 18 months. And this week has probably been one of the worst of all because of one company that went down. You probably don't know about this, but do you hold the energy?
Yes.
Yeah, have you not looked at the share price that recently?
I didn't know. Did it go down, did it?
Don't.
Don't look at portfolio, Steve.
It's so annoying. The thing is, it's well, I'll talk about that in a bit, but I'm going to say, right, whenever you know, take a hit in a stock, there's always lessons to be learned. And it was quite avoidable, really. I knew they were sailing close to the wind as far as, you know, profitability or needing to raise cash. And if any company's in that situation, especially in the bear market we're in, err on the side of caution and take some off and say, okay, I'll get back in maybe when they raise cash. And they did raise cash. They released their preliminary results, which were very good. They had lots of strength in there, lots of growth in there in the right areas. But they also announced they're going to, you know, raise some money, only $2.5 million via bonds. But it took the market by surprise, pulled the trousers down, and it dropped.
How much by?
Oh, by a lot. But it'll recover. The thing is, the most worrying situation a company can be in, a new growing company, is not having cash to fund their operations until they get a profitability. In this market, we are in a bear market. People don't understand this, right? Private investors, many don't understand this. I speak to a lot of CEOs who say, raising money at the moment is very difficult. People don't want to give you any money. We're in a risk-averse environment where people don't want to give you money. That's it. So if you are into a loss-making company or a company is currently loss-making and they need to raise money, it's a bigger void. That said, they've done that now, so it's fine. But if you are a loss-making company, make sure it's got lots of cash, at least for 12 months, because the markets will probably ease up and become more liquid after 12 months' time, because we've been in a bear market for almost 12 months already. But it's not the place to be. It's very hard. I mean, in fact, these are some of the lessons I've learned last week, and they're not new lessons, but it's good reminding people. So firstly, number one, right? If you want to give someone advice, right? They want to go investing in stocks or shares, and they say, well, I want to start investing in small cap stocks or shares. What's the first bit of advice you give them around about, say, portfolio management? What would you say to them?
Manage your exposure and your risk.
Yes, exposure. So first of all, is you're always going to pick a stock that takes a hit. It's going to happen. If you're in high risk, high reward stocks, stocks that can give you, you know, multiple upsides, there's going to be risks. Okay, so the way you can insulate against any of this is, first of all, exposure. If you're overexposed to one company, and I was a little bit to E Energy, and I don't know why I did that, probably greed maybe, but it's going to take a hit. One company in your portfolio is going to take a hit, especially if in that area. In fact, even big caps take a hit. So the only way you can ring fence against that is by not overexposing to it. So for example, I'd suggest, especially in microcaps, not having more than a 10% exposure to one stock. That means 10% of your portfolio value. Say, let's say for round figures, because it's easy to do this, but £100,000 portfolio value, don't put more than 10 grand investment capital into one company. Now, if it rises by, if it doubles and goes to 20%, that's not too bad because it's going in the right direction, but you haven't invested any more than £10,000 in it. So if a company starts going down in value and you've put 10 grand in, don't keep putting more money into it, because it's going to get riskier and riskier, and you are putting more capital to work in a company that's going down. And also, it's probably against trend. Something's not right there. So as long as you limit that exposure to 10%, you're fine. That's all you lose. So the maximum, and you should always think about that. What is the maximum I will lose on this stock? That's it, because it can happen, right? So think of the worst case scenario. So if you put 10% of 100,000 is £10,000. Do you really want to lose £10,000? If not, bring it down to 5%. And then you can scale in. And even getting to 5%, you should scale in really, and then see if it's going in the right direction. If the updates are coming out and something's going wrong. Look, for the energy, there was a problem there. Someone was selling all the time, and it was a previous owner of a company they'd acquired, which was, first of all, annoying, because if the operations are going in the right direction and yet the share price keeps going down, you think, what is going on? So even that, is a little, okay, that's a good reason not to put a lot of money in up front straight away. You want the share price to be going in the right direction. So first of all, exposure. And I'd say, in fact, if anyone's starting to invest, first and foremost, I'd say put 50% in a low-cost tracker fund. And that way, the backbone of your portfolio is be quite steady. And S&P is a good one, or the Vanguard. Do you still hold those?
Yeah.
What do you have then? What?
The Life Strategy.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
Yeah.
And the FTSE one.
You have a FTSE one, do you?
FTSE one, yeah.
I now have the most in my Vanguard, 100% Life Strategy.
How much of your, what percentage would you say of your? It's always good to know that. If you can work with spreadsheets, download them, just chuck them in there. And also right next to your stocks, the sectors are in as well, because that's very, because when you're trying to get diversification, when you get something like the Vanguard, that's holding about 5,000 companies, so you're very well diversified around the world. But individual stocks, write them down, write what percentage of exposure you have to them in comparison to your total portfolio value, and also the sectors are in, because you don't want, say, five stocks in leisure and travel or five stocks in media, because they're all going to get hit at the same time if they do get hit. Mm. So you want sector diversification as well.
I do that. Yeah, I think my Vanguard's about 40%,
sorry,
which I think is a nice amount.
Is that the beige buffer?
Yes, that's good. And I'd say, again, that 50%, I'm going to start, I don't know if you saw the video I did in the S&P 500 fund, I'm going to start investing junior ISA money, Fred and Monty's, not yet, because I think it's still, well, I know it's still in a downtrend. The S&P 500 is the biggest index in the world, pretty much. It holds all the big boys, Apple, Microsoft, Google, others.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm. So it's a massive fund, and its Vanguard is a tracker fund, very low cost, but it's still in a downtrend. I don't want to start, and I did a strategy on that on video, and 80% of the time, if you only invest when the 50-day moving averages cross up over the 200-day, you make 20% every period that happens, and only 20% of the time you're wrong, and you'd only lose 6% anyway, so your overall net gain. And like I said, if you also scale in, so for example, let's say again your portfolio value is 100 grand and you intend to put 50 grand into a fund like that, don't do it overnight. Monthly amounts over 3 to 5 years, that way you go through any bull or bear market, you come out of a back of a bear market and in a bull market again. But that is the best way, and if you can keep doing that on a monthly basis, regular basis, you get the best dollar cost averaging, as they call it. But don't lump it all in, because at the moment I think we've still got further downside. I mean, it doesn't matter over long term, but why start investing when we're in downtrend?
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, that's number one. I'd say three lessons. Exposure, first and foremost. Ring fence your portfolio, because you're going to take a hit on a stock. That's going to happen in life. What you don't want to do is take a hit in the stock where you have like 50% exposure to it, or 20%, because it's too much. You know, it's too much. And you can always, and if a company turns out to be an amazing company, and you can see after, you know, a year or so, it's getting better and better, and the value is getting better, and the growth is there, then you could put more in. But yeah, initially, start off very small and aim for around about maximum 10%. And like I said, even if that 10 bags, you know, that company, that's fine. You can take some off, but don't put more in. You know, initial investment capital. Does that make sense compared to like where, you know?
But yeah, but then, so when do you get out? That's the...
Again, this is one kind of it, right? Okay. So one of the three reasons I've been looking at, and, you know, my portfolio, I've done very well in the last 12 years, you know, like I said, you know, we're sitting in a house with no mortgage, largely based down to stocks and shares, you know, and I've got a decent, you know, ISA portfolio.
To be fair, there's no roof on the house. But
there's no roof. I had to sell that last week because of the bear market. But, you know, and I've got a decent chunk of stocks worth quite a bit of money. And that's largely in the last 10, 12 years. It's halved in value in the last 18 months.
Yeah.
It's still, you know, a decent chunk. By all means, it'll be a decent journey. But going forward, I've realised, and I've talked about this many years back, it's a very old trend following system. And if you read a book called The Turtle Traders, one of the best traders in the world, they were trend followers. And it's very important you follow the trend of a stock. Doesn't matter if a stock is good value. Doesn't matter if it's generating increased profits year after year. It can do that, but the share price can still go down. Why? It comes down to, you know, supply and demand. Why does the share price go down? There are more net sellers than buyers. So you may have like, you know, 100,000 buyers, but 200,000 sellers. At the end of the day, the share price is going to go down. Why are they selling? I don't know. I don't need to know that. All I know, it's in a downtrend.
Yeah.
When will it start an uptrend? Because I'm happy with the fundamentals. And this week, I've literally, in the last two, 3 weeks, actually, last pretty much month, I bought two companies, right, that have very strong fundamentals, but also essentially they're an uptrend. And that's very important because it's about supply and demand. Rising prices attract buyers, first and foremost. In fact, even when I look at Vox Markets, the most followed stocks on a daily basis are people trying to chase the price of a company that's gone berserk. That's silly doing that, but that's the way the market works. And you know, and conversely, share prices that fall attract sellers. Why do people sell? Because the share price is going down. Simple as that. You know, I'm selling, I don't care, I'm getting out. And that can continue happening until sellers dry up or until big buyers overtake the sellers. So if you look at just a very simple thing, first and foremost, when you look at a company and you like it from a fundamental point of view, all of the metrics are lining up. And then you look at the chart and say, okay, first of all, is this share price over the 200-day moving average? That's basically a bull bear line. Anything above that is quite bullish, but it's got to be consistently. And then to make sure that is an upward trend, the 50-day moving average is going up over that 200-day moving average. If you only buy companies like that, you'll do well, as long as they've got good fundamental backing as well. And I've done that twice in the last month. Argentex is one. These are highly profitable, you know, pay dividends, and they're growing very quickly, and K3 Capital. And literally, I've got a screen now that filter for companies with certain growth metrics, certain valuation metrics, certain profitability metrics, but also they have to be in a start of an uptrend. Otherwise, there's no point buying them. It's wasted money. And that's very, very important. And in fact, give me any... one other thing, before I get... You can give me any companies you want, all right? And I look at the chart, and I'll point out, in fact, the stocks that we held, I would have done a lot better, and I would have been about 90% cash right now if I just paid attention to those metrics. And I'd have been sitting on a lot bigger profit than I am now. But I was sat in there and said, oh, no, don't worry, it's a good company long term. But you realize after 18 months of pain, you think, okay, do you know what? It may be a good company. Doesn't mean I have to hold it forever. I can jump out now and get back in when it's cheaper. It's fine. And you can do that on a sort of trend following system like that. But one other thing, before I get into the charts and trends, cash, I just mentioned this, you know, it's very important. So exposure, cash is very important. Always look at a company. If a company is not generating cash from operations, if it's not making profits, sooner or later, it's got to get cash from somewhere. Normally, that is the shareholder. And so if a company needs to do that, if you're going to invest in a loss-making company, then make sure they have at least, like I said, 12 months of cash. I covered that. Anyway, let's look at charts, right? Look at charts. You name any company, and I'll give you a classic example. I bought into XP Factory. It's a great company. In fact, we're going to Boom Battle Bar today. Mm. Steve wanted to save money. I booked 4 games today.
I didn't want to save money. I didn't want to do beer pong. And I think Peter agrees with me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And I don't think you really want to do beer pong.
I don't understand how beer
pong
works.
We're not 18-year-olds.
Well, I am, Steve, really. You know, in my mind. I dress like one. I'm a bit trendy.
Not on the trendy side.
No. 18, not 80.
So what we booked today now, about 1:30, we're going to be doing, I think, AXA-ing. You've got to go there. Have you signed your waiver?
Oh, no, I haven't.
They've got to sign your waiver. And they can actually breathalyze you before you do it.
Awesome. Yeah, I did know this.
Yeah, they breathalyze you because obviously...
Well, you're not allowed to drink before?
Well,
you're allowed to drink, but you're not allowed to be intoxicated.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Of course, what XP Factory don't want is people going to, you know, hospital with axes in their heads.
Got it.
Yeah, because that would not be good for the share price.
Are the axes branded as well? That would be good.
Yeah, boom, battle bar. Someone come in the... First and foremost, they'd have to get in the queue for the ambulances.
Good point.
And you wouldn't last long with an axe stuck in your head, let's be honest.
No.
It's only an 8-hour queue, fella. That's true. Do you know what? NHS, I don't want to go tangent. My mother had to go to the hospital about... a month and a half back, and it said they call an ambulance because she fell down. 8-hour wait.
Wow.
And I thought it was just, you know, something odd. I thought it was just random stories you see on TV by the odd person complaining, and then they got there 8 hours in a corridor.
Jeez.
It's literally at breaking point, the NHS. I mean, and my father's talking to the ambulance drivers. He's like this all the time. There's no beds in there. We can't get in there. So we're all queuing to get in. Oh. So people are dying. People are dying. It's like, you know, anyway, that's going from boom battle about axes in people's heads. So anyway, they take it responsibly. I quite like axe throwing. It was very clever because it grabs the attention. It may be not the most exciting sport, but the axe throwing does grab PR, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whenever I see, they've now opened 27 boom battle bars in a year. That's phenomenal.
Mm.
23 escape rooms as well. The big one in Oxford Street is open. I got invited to that, by the way.
Yep.
I couldn't go.
Great story.
Yeah, I was invited to another VIP event. It just got too many VIP events going on.
Oh, right. You couldn't go because of another VIP event.
Yeah, I see.
But we are playing shuffleboard, though, and you guys never played that, have you?
No.
Yeah. It's like bowling, but...
Brilliant.
But you slide little metal things along.
Yeah, it's fun.
So you've got to slide down a board and you've got to stop beyond a certain line but not drop in the trough at the end.
That's
right.
It's much more of an age thing for us to play.
Nice. That sounds much better than beer pong.
Mm. Yeah.
So we go in there anyway. So we're booked to do that. Shuffleboard, AR darts.
I've not done that before, but there's somewhere in Cardiff outside of Boom, because they haven't got the AR darts in Boom Battle Bar in Cardiff. There's another place that does it, and everyone raves about it.
The thing is about Boom Battle Bar, what's very clever, is those games are modular, pretty much. So they can whip them out, whip them back in. So if one game is very popular, another game is not so popular, they can just whip one out, put one back in, or whatever, or say, let's move that space. Shuffleboard is doing well, you know, like... But beer pong is not. Let's put two shuffleboards in, and take the beer pong out.
Yeah, because in the Cardiff Boom Battle, they got a Crazy Golf. Not so modular, but still.
Yeah. The bigger ones do have Crazy Golf, I don't think Southampton has that.
I think Cardiff would be a big beer pong sort of place.
It's much bigger, Cardiff. Well, I haven't seen Southampton, but it's a big unit.
But the one in... it's a big unit. You could have said that to Megan last night. She wouldn't have been as offended.
That's the B.
Hey, Megan, I'm Steve Roy. You are a big unit. Well, thanks, Steve. Now, are we having a beige buffet? What did you say?
How dare you criticise the colour of my buffet?
So, XP Factory is a good example. I remember buying this when I couldn't get access to the app when I was in Turkey on holidays. I called Barclays up and said, can I buy anything? And I was buying at 7p. Now, I'll tell you where the 50-day moving average crossed. I didn't know this at the time. I obviously may have looked at it because it's in one of my filters about trend. Because I update my strategy all the time, but now I've made this a priority filter that a company has to be in an uptrend. It's more than just looking at lines on a chart. It's about the dynamics of the buys and the sells in the market. It's really fundamental, you know. Unless more people are buying than selling, then the share price is not going to go up. And these trend lines smooth out share price action, and that share price is basically denoted by volume, and volume is very important. But so it was November I was buying it. When did the 50-day cross the 200-day? It was in November the 4th, pretty much, 2020, at 8p.
So the 50-day moved up over the 200.
So first of all, what you want to look for is... The granddaddy of all moving averages is a 200-day average. All that does is smooth out, you know, it's 200 days worth of information in one dot, in one line, and every time it does another day, it compiles those 2 days, the last 200 days. So it's 200 days worth. So unless a company's been listed for 200 days, you won't see any line for 200-day moving average. And then if a company's been listed for 201 days, you'll see 2 days worth of line. That line gets long, of course, the longer. So, but anyway, it smooths out the last 200 days worth of price action. And the 50-day is the same. So of course, the 50-day is a shorter time frame, so it moves in line with the price a bit faster, whereas 200 days smoother because it's over 200 days. So first and foremost, look at anyone you're going to invest in. If everything else checks out, just look at a chart. All you need to do is put on a 50-day moving average and I've done the videos on this, by the way, and a 200-day moving average, and then look, first of all, is the share price above that 200-day moving average? Because that shows, what does that say? It says basically the average price for the last 200 days, the share price is now above that. So it's above the average. That means there's volume coming in. And then secondly, is the 50-day, the shorter time frame, going up at a more steep angle? Is it crossing up? And that shows there's more current buying than selling. So that crossed...
That's the golden cross.
Golden cross is called, yes. And then going downwards, again, when do you sell companies? When that goes the other way around. Right. That's the death cross. So this is when it would have happened on XP Factory, okay? At 7.95 pence in November 2020. Then it went up to 48 points. You're never going to catch the top and the bottom of the market, but 7.5 pence wasn't bad because I think the low was only like... The low is 6.25, so 7.5 pence, not too bad. Then it went up to 48 pence. 48 pence.
Yeah.
I didn't take anything off there.
I took some off there.
I didn't take anything off. Then, for the next few months, it just started grinding slowly lower. In January 2021, the share price went below the 50-day moving average. And said, okay, that's the first little telltale sign. So you're realizing then, now the share price is now trending below the last 50 days' worth. It's not starting to trend down. Unless it goes back up above that, it will continue to trend down. And then it continued to trend down. And then on October, so a year later, from the cross on the up, it crossed on the way down at 32 pence. Mm. That's not a bad return. From 7.5 pence to 32 pence, if you just sold out then. What did I do? I pretty much held on. Now, we're at this level now where... The share price was hit a low in September 2022 at 10 pence.
Mm-hmm.
It's now rallied. It's gone above the 50-day moving average, so we're starting. It's now above the last 50 days average price, and it's very close now to the 200-day moving average. So I'm seeing, I think, we will have a trend starting up again.
Yeah.
Now, going forward, when you sell this, if that trend starts... Don't sell it until the trend starts coming back down, because that can last for a year.
Yeah.
And like I said, you hold on to your winners. And so I see the share price going up for a long time now because they're operationally, they're a big, you know, decent sized company churning out decent cash and profits. And operationally, their margins are getting better because, of course, new sites tend to drag more because they cost more. And you've got the initial problems to sort them out, getting them up to speed. But as these sites mature, they get more efficient, more cash, more profit, and the growth will be very good. And so I think we'll start hitting an uptrend very soon. So the 200-day moving average is at 20 pence. The share price right now is at 18 pence. So we're literally 2 pence off.
I take all that on board, but...
Take it on board, yeah.
I'll take it on board. With that particular company, specifically, it was, of course, Escape Hunt. That's how it started.
Yeah.
And then the acquisition of Boom Battle Bar, and it all became XP Factory and all that. So it's a lot more complicated, isn't it, than just like... looking at a chart, because there's a bigger story there.
There's lots of different indicators, right? Lots of different indicators that people look at that are questionable. There are people put forecasting prices on using Fibonacci. Do you know what Fibonacci is?
I went to school then.
It's literally the Fibonacci, it's retracements. And all that. But these are forecasts, like weather forecasts.
Yeah.
All I'm looking at are metrics based on the share price. The share price is fact, right? Mm. Now, what moves the share price? Volume. Fact.
Yeah, well, I'm actually cutting you some slack. You're beating yourself up. And I'm like, well, it's hindsight is a wonderful thing. And I think you're talking about when it's dropping below 32p and all of that. But who's to say at that point it could have just bumped along in that range, not too bad. And I think at the time, we're all talking about it as that's a lot of potential, these boom battle bars and blah, 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 and there's a lot of hype and all of that. And that hasn't changed. We weren't selling them because it's a longer term picture, a longer term story.
That's exactly what I said to him last night.
Yeah, but this is my thing. If it does that, right, there's a high probability. For example, you can't argue the share price is trending down now. It's starting to trend down. Regardless of what you think fundamentally is going on with the business, whatever's going on there, the acquisition maybe, there's volume coming in, it's selling, that's not going to help the share price. So if you like the company, but the share price is going down, okay, fair enough. If you're holding this stock for 3 to 5 years, that's fine. Yeah. It doesn't matter. As long as you can handle the pain of seeing it get to 48 pence or... many people wouldn't have got in at 7 pence. So I'm still in profit on this. I'm, you know, it's about 18 pence. Yeah. I bought my average around 9 pence. I'm more than double the profit of this still.
Yeah.
But would I have liked to take some off, a lot more off at that area where I thought, okay, it's trending down. There's a good chance, so a high probability it will trend down. So remember, a falling price attracts sellers.
Yeah, but it might trend down, but not too aggressively.
And then I'll wait for the trend. As soon as that cross happens, I'll stick with that, right? Now, if it trends back up, that'll cross back up. I'll get back in. That's fine. That's fine. Because then it was a false signal. That's fine. Treat it as a false signal. But why take the chance of it going down and down? Any other company? Look at this now, right? The company I just bought...
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know, are there trading platforms out there where you could set this up as an auto... Take the emotion out of it completely and go, if it crosses, of course there
is. Yeah, probably. You don't make trades, yeah. But what I'm saying is... It's not just this. All these companies I'm looking at now, for example, right?
Yeah.
The filters I look at for companies, first of all, they have to have... I got a heck of a spreadsheet now. It's literally, this is where... whenever you punch the figures in, first of all, on a daily basis, on my webinar on a daily basis, I probably look at 5 to 6 stocks who's had released, you know, final results or interim results, and that's figures. And figures are fact, right? Everything else is opinion. So that way it was saying we thought they may go up. That's just opinion, okay? The actual, what's going on, the price and the volume, that's fact.
FOMO is a huge thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Thinking this company will go higher, it will. I believe it will over time. What I'm talking about is if I've held this company for a year and I'm sitting on a decent multiple of my initial investment and now I see the share price trending down, what am I going to do? Am I going to stick with it and watch it trend down? Or to just get out now, take a bit of profit, because I've been told by the share price and the volume, not by my opinion, that I think it's going to be bigger, I think the share price is going to go up. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think. The actual fact is the volume and the price. That's the fact.
The irony is, you're the most emotional of all of us. What you're saying is, don't be emotional. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yes. I agree.
So that's why on the webinar on a weekly basis, I literally look at results and I base it all on figures, first and foremost. And these are the filters I look for at any company. So it's not just about having a good chart, because you can trade charts all day, but I'm not going to trading, that's what I'm investing. And the investing part of it is, first of all, looking for growth in a company. And that's the most important thing for small companies. Do they have growth? Are they selling their product increasingly? Is there bigger demand? Is there increasing demand for it year on year? And I look at 20% top line growth. That validates. So there's a lot of companies out there at the moment, you know, that you see on Twitter and people hyping these stocks. They say, oh, this is an amazing product. They got this, this, and this, and the rumors of this. And I think, okay, well, are they selling it though? Because it's a good concept, it's a good idea, and in the eye of the shareholder, who's very biased, as we all are when we own, you know, stock in a company, we're all biased. So we all put a rosy tint on it. But unless they actually start selling that product service and it's demand for it, and that demand is increasing, they haven't got anything special. You know, they haven't got anything special. So first and foremost, has it got growth? 20% top line year-on-year growth. Value, that's very important as well. You know, if a company's way overvalued and they come out with results that, you know, don't match up to the valuation. They'll sink like a stone, you know? So value, I look at basic enterprise value being less than 10 times their earnings before EBITDA, earnings before tax, interest, depreciation, amortization. So it's within that range, it's not overvalued. Health is very important. And these boxes, you'd like this, they populate and they color code on my spreadsheets. So when I fill the figures in,
I don't particularly like
everything.
That.
It color codes everything, right?
Steve prefers the beige one.
Yeah. Well, it is a beige color. So according to the metrics, any box is filled in, it's green, is yes, thumbs up, it's good. Growth, good value.
Right.
If it goes beige, Steve, then it's okay. It's all right.
I think beige should be the new bad colour, though.
From
last night.
And then if the box, you know, fills to red, then think, okay, it's below this race. But also, health is very important. And this is one of the things that I learned with E-Energy. I knew pretty much they were selling close to the wind as far as financing is concerned. I pretty much ignored it. I knew they had a bit of net debt, but it was only sort of, you know, 1.5 times EBITDA, so it wasn't a problem. But I've got a health box here, looks at net cash debt, debt to EBITDA ratio, current ratio, which is current assets covering current liabilities, and then quick ratio, can their liabilities be covered by cash? So that's the health. I've also got efficiency box. Okay, so this is on before I even get to the chart. Mm. I look at all this efficiency, operating profit margins. That is very important. And basically, unless a company is profitable, they're not going to fit my filters. Unless they're profitable at operating level, and they've got to have operating margins around about 10% or more is very good. Less than that, you know, they start going, okay. Now, if they're a new company, it's not too bad, but is that so is cash flow generated as well? And then the fourth box, before you have to invest, momentum. That's the most important thing of all. Once you've got all that stacked up, there's no point even investing in a company if the share price is trending down. Because unless you're happy to sit on a paper loss for a long time, you know, a cheap company can keep getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, especially in a bear market. And I don't care. You can say, oh, keep topping up. No, don't do that. Be a bit more efficient with your capital. And wait until the buyers start coming in volume, and it consistently share price starts going up. Then jump on the trend. You don't want to trying to find the bottom of the market is a mug's game, and it'll end up costing you money. And you can continue to try and pick the bottom of a stock, and that's a dirty business.
Don't pick your bottom. Yeah. Just going back to this whole way of trading
investing. Because to fit those four filters, first of all, before momentum, that's a very good, fundamentally strong company. You know, they're profitable, they're growing, they're good value, everything. So first and foremost, it's a company with a long-term sustainable growth path. But in the end, it's got to have a bit of momentum. It's got to start going in the right direction, share price-wise, you know?
But this movement over the death cross, basically, you're saying basically sell then when it crosses the 200, the 50 crosses the 200, to get that. And that's kind of a really simple thing that people can follow, and that's great. But when you've got a longer-term story, you're saying then you'll get back in when that crosses, but it's that classic thing of timing the market is better. But that doesn't.
I mean, if you look at the S&P, for example, like I said, this and the S&P, it happens. We're talking these things don't happen. They only happened recently on the S&P. This is the fastest they've ever happened. When the dash for, we had a pandemic, didn't we? The entire global economy shut down. And so all of a sudden the stock markets crashed. It was the fastest sell-off ever in the history of stock markets. Fastest ever sell-off that was, and the fastest rebound. So it wouldn't have worked there because the moving averages are slower to react. Right. The share price went down off a cliff and bounced back up. So that went from literally, they crossed from on the 31st of March downwards and 9th of July upwards, and that's the fastest cross I've seen. So even that was April, May, June, 4 months it took for that. We're not talking about jumping in and out quickly here. This takes a long time for these.
But even then, what I was going to say was that you then have to have the available capital to get back in.
Yeah.
And you might not, because you might have gone into another one, which then isn't moving quite as well. And actually, you would have been better off staying in the first one, because that's recovered quickly and it's now, you know, golden cross and it's heading to the moon. And I've missed out. I don't know. It's very easy to talk about this stuff.
No, it is. But now I set up a system to make sure, unless it ticks those boxes and I look at the chart anyway, but it color codes it on the spreadsheet. I've even figured a way of dragging in the moving averages in numbers form into my spreadsheet, and they light up green if the share price
you're
is above.
Proud of that, aren't you?
I've learned so much about everything, even spreadsheets, in the last 18 months.
Always learning.
It's like this. This is a good analogy, right? It's like you got a brand new surfboard. Okay, that's the fundamentals of the company. Okay, and you're going to go surfing, whether the tide likes it or not.
Right.
I'm going surfing. I think, hang on, the tide's not, it's not, the tide is coming in, isn't it, for surfing?
Well, it depends. Offshore wind helps hold up the phase.
Okay, maybe that's not a good analogy.
Onshore.
But the conditions aren't right for you, you're surfing, essentially. There's no waves.
Mm.
But you say, okay, I'm going surfing on my new board. Yeah. I've got a brand new board. Yeah. So the new board is the fundamentals of the company. It all stacks up, it's growing, all that. But the conditions to buy that, to get in the water, isn't there.
There's no swell.
So wait for the swell.
Right.
Or you imagine having a big hill. There's a big hill like that, a V-shaped sort of hill coming down, right? And you want to jump on a bus coming down the hill, or there's a runaway car or something, right? It's a runaway car or something. And you want to jump in that car and stop it, right? When's the best time to stop that car?
Yeah, right at the bottom.
Well, yeah, or when it comes down, it starts going back up. It's starting slow, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Rather than try and stop it when it's hurtling down the road and jumping in when I say 30 mile an hour, hang on, just let it get to the bottom.
Okay.
It's just, you know, the right time. What I'm saying is there's momentum. There has to be momentum. Momentum is very important. That's what the share price movement is. It has to be going in the right direction. If it's not, you are literally paddling on flat water with your brand new board going nowhere. And in fact, you may be dragged out to sea.
In a runaway car.
I can't see in a runaway car.
Yeah, turns out the surfboard's a runaway car.
What I'm saying is, right, what we think about what's going to happen to share price is completely irrelevant. What's actually happening is relevant.
I think
that is moved, but all that's based on is volume.
Yeah.
Volume is so important.
I think the big thing, though, and the XPF is a great example there, isn't it, of where you were buying at 7, 8p, 32p, that's a great time to sell, regardless of the future, regardless of what you've made some good money there, walk away.
Yeah, but the good thing is, if you've researched that company very well, it's still there. Is it still, okay, is it still operating nicely? Yes. But that's going to trend up again now. It's about literally, it's 2 pence away from breaking over the 200 movement. So you wait now, and I see that happening again. Another trend, that last trend happened for a year. Mm. That's, you just sit there for a year until that trend breaks. You know, just wait for it to break and then get back out. And next time you probably do 2 or 3 times your money again on that, at least. You know, so, and it happens with all stocks. Looking at all stocks I've ever, you know, looked, and in fact, I'll give you 2 examples of where I've done this positively recently, right? So one is called K3 Capital. They were like, in 10th of November 2020, they were 142. Okay?
Yeah.
Then a year later, and this is basically, they crossed up, £2 is with a cross, the golden cross. Peter!
Yeah.
Who are you texting?
Nothing. No one.
You've been looking at someone, Steve, isn't he?
Yeah, I got your text, Pete.
Okay. What is he going on about?
I have no idea.
So, anyway, the upward cross on this last time it happened, right, was 219. Yeah? The share price went up to £4. Crossed down 336. So you got 219 to 336. Then it was, and this company has compound annual growth of 40. Let me just put the thing of 44 point. Let me just open a spreadsheet. I'll tell you exactly what the margins are here because they're very impressive. So first of all, last year, right, they are 200 million market cap pretty much. Last year they did 70 million in revenue, up from 47. That's 50%. Top line growth, I'm looking for 20. EBITDA growth was 30%. Their EV EBITDA is 10, which is on the edge of what I'm looking for. EBITDA margins, 30%. I'm looking for 20%. They got net cash of like 11 million. They got debt, no debt, very little debt. Everything's good on the health front. Literally, they generated 8 million from cash from operations. Their operating profit margin is 18%. So I'm looking for 10% or more. They're way above fundamentally where I want a company to be. They are literally, they've done compound annual growth. They also pay a 4% dividend, 4.5% dividend. Okay. Their share price, like I said, from November, Golden Cross, 218, and then it crossed down Death Cross, 336. Now, that was in December 2021. It's been going down for the last 18 months, pretty much. This week, it crossed up again. They've gone down like this, come back to you that way, come back up. It's crossed here. I bought at 270, they're now at 297. Okay, and I know that fundamentally they can keep, because if people research that and they see the charts right, they say that's a very strong company anyway, paying dividends. So that last trend lasted for how long? Literally November 20th to when was it? December 21st. And again, another, a year that happened. So it doesn't just roll over and, you know, in days and weeks. Yeah. Another one, by the way, just one more example, Argentex. By the way, K3 Capital, what they do, you didn't ask for that. Do you want to know what they do?
No.
Okay. And Argentex has...
Hey, Jess, what did K3 Capital do?
They got 3 business segments. Right. One is where they help business owners who want to sell.
Got it.
So mergers, acquisitions, all that stuff. They are, by deal volume, the largest in that sector by far. It's phenomenal if you look at their presentation. They've also got tax advisory, all that stuff for big tax company clients, big corporate clients, and this is very good, insolvency practice. So they help companies with insolvency. And now we're going through a recession, that's going to get busier. You know, Steve, he's gone really red.
I literally just picked a spot on my nose. It's made my eyes water.
Again, you don't get that on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Literally, then I just saw, I looked at him, right? And he started going, you know, purple almost. So his head's going to explode. You know, in the Charlie the Chocolate Factory, that woman.
Yeah.
Is it, what happens to that boy?
Augustus Glimp.
Is that one of the chocolate? Gloop. He literally goes purple.
Not that red.
I thought his head's going to explode with all brain over the wall and stuff. And if you're going to do that, Steve, go in the garden. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Because, you know, my wife's a clean freak. And you know, beige buffet on top of your brain exploding, she won't help you with that. So I invested in Argentex, right, when the Golden Cross happened.
What do they do?
they essentially help companies hedge their currencies. So companies, big companies and corporations that do a lot of business abroad, right. There's a lot of movements in, you know, interest rates at the moment. That means currencies are changing a lot. So it's hard because if you are, you know, booking your revenue in dollars, and that's strengthening, now it's getting a bit weaker. You think, oh my word, it's like we'd have made, you know, 50 million profit now. Now there's currency movements, we don't want to make that. So if they can hedge that, then that's the kind of thing to do. But on 23rd of September, again, amazing margins, amazing growth. Just had a trading update where they could exceed this year's market guidelines for revenue, all that stuff. And they're also quite cheap at the moment still. But they crossed up at 80 pence, okay, on 22nd of September. They're now 120, and I bought them literally on the Friday there. I bought them at 84 pence. They're now 120. Mm. So all I'm saying is make it a conditional. If you're investing in a stock, check out the trend of the per share price, because that's fact. Regardless of where you think it will go, the volume determines the price, and the price then you can look at by looking at these trending lines. And that will make sure you're putting your surfboard in water where you can surf. Yeah,
there's a swell. But then going back to the classic fundamentals, evaluation, you know, market cap, that's now 120. What's the market cap?
I've realized, especially in a bear market, it's not bad in a bull market. Liquidity is there. My position sizing in mega caps is very... they're too small for me. Mm. If I want to get out, if a trend changes, I can't get out in a bear market because selling attracts sellers. Mm-hmm. The share price goes down. The quotes the market makers offer you get smaller. Mm. And so I'm stuck holding a stock. Like if I was in these companies are like, you know, 200 million, 150 million. Yeah. So if these companies, you know, I've had no problem getting out of these companies pretty much.
But is that a fair valuation now? If you've done well going from 84p to 120, whatever, that's great.
Yeah, well, look at Argentex, right? Revenue growth of 23%, EBITDA growth 20, in fact, half years more recent, 75% top line growth, 46% EBITDA growth. They are an EV EBITDA of 6, not even 10. That's by looking for below 10 or below.
Yep.
And that means, you know, I'm not saying 10's expensive, but I'm looking for good value, and 10 or below, they're on 6. So even after that rise, they're only 6 times their EBITDA. So they're still cheap. And they've got cash of like cash generated through operations, 16.4 million. So that means from their operations, they actually made 16.4 million cash. Free cash flow, that means from operations and capex of investing, 15.5 million. And they've got a cash of 25 million. So these are good, very good businesses. They're not only growing, they're very efficient.
Yeah.
They are profitable. They pay dividends. And literally, chart-wise, they're looking good.
Yeah. I'll do Steve's question. What's the ticker?
The ticker there is AGFX. I would say there's something going on with the chart of AGFX. It's trying to break 120, and it can't quite do it. It gets up there all the time. I would suggest that may soften that share price. So if it does come down a bit, obviously it'll get even cheaper. Mm. The fundamentals are very good.
Yep.
They pay a dividend. So it's as long as it's in an uptrend, you're fine scaling in here. You know, do your own research. AGFX is ticker K3 Cap. It's K3 Capital is a bit more expensive, but they are a market leader in what they do. Absolutely. And if you look at their presentations, very impressive. The CEO owns about 10% of the stock. So skin in the game, all that. These are now high quality businesses that are literally chucking out cash, you know, to the point where they can afford to pay dividends and all that stuff. So I will be upscaling a bit going forward. I'm not going to be looking for HoPipe, but even though I made a lot of money on that stock in a bull market, the HoPipe potato stocks, I don't want that anymore. I don't want high risk and high reward. I go for decent risk, decent reward, not high risk, high reward. Because firstly, they're too small for me to get any size position in. And I want to be able to hold these companies for a while and actually have some dividends from them and all that stuff. So I'm upscaling. But also, I am now 34% in cash.
Mm. Oh, okay.
My biggest holding is XP Factory, 17, Truefin, 14, Space and People, 10, Argentex, 8, E-Energy, 7, GTEC, 5, K3 Capital, 3, Gfinity, 1%. Mm. That's it, 34% cash. So I'm sitting there waiting for these companies, good quality companies. Will I add some more to that? If they're in an uptrend and they're still good value, yes, I will, as long as I'm below 10%. or when I look for others, I'm always looking for other companies, but unless they fit those criteria, being growth, value, health, efficient, and momentum,
yeah,
then I'm not going to bother. You know. So,
interesting.
Do you know what? Literally, on a filter I have, filtering 2,000 companies on the market, there's literally 12 companies that come up. That's all.
Okay.
That's good. That's quality filtering. Yeah. And of those...
It's quality filtering.
Yeah, of those, only, I think, one or two of them are going in a... And even on further inspection, I'm not that happy with one or two of them. But you probably make money, but even those, the 50 days starting to cross up. So yeah. I scan for companies with those metrics, the fundamentals, that are above the 200-day moving average.
Yeah.
Then the second confirmation is 50-day above that. So of those 12, only one, I think, or two is above 50-day. And of those two, I looked into one. I'm not quite happy with what they do.
Right.
I thought, that sounds a bit odd.
Arms trading, are they?
It's, well, I went to their website, and I can't think. There's Chinese writing on the thing. Are they a big dealer in China? Because Chinese history of stocks on AIM. I don't think it's a Chinese company, but that's a bit odd. But anyway.
So of all the stocks in your portfolio now, are you saying they're all in an uptrend?
None of them are. Apart from the two ones I bought recently.
Okay, sorry. And so the others, though, if they do cross the death cross, you're going to sell.
Oh, it's too late now. I'm not going to say, they've done that. They've gone through the death cross. Well, I literally should have got out a lot earlier. So if you look at, say, Trufin, for example, initially Trufin started the Golden Cross at 26 pence a share.
Yeah, no, obviously, SPF, but what you're saying, and your sellout, if they get to the... if as and when they get up and
yeah, so I'm waiting for
you'll buy more.
No, no, I'm not gonna buy more.
No, I'm on about the other way.
What?
The cross, the other way.
Yeah, the death cross.
Yeah, but it comes back to life.
No. So I don't know what Steve Dorton minds. He's been picking his nose too much, I think. So he's got some pus coming out. He's sniffing noxious gas.
So
you buy more, and death cross, and then what? You sell on the uptrend.
That's the one.
So
he's getting it the wrong way around. Yeah.
If they drop down now, and then I'm trying to think.
I'm not selling any of the stuff I've got now.
No.
Right, first of all, the two stocks I've invested in recently, they're up on where I bought them at. They fit everything from the fundamentals to things. The other companies I hold, like I said, XP Factory, not far off starting a new uptrend.
Yes.
Okay, so...
And then as and when they then, if they do, then drop down and they go across the... You'll sell out.
Oh, yeah. Once they get back... Right. But that'll take about a year.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And I've held those then since 2020. So literally another year. 4 years I've held them for.
Yeah.
So once that gets back in an uptrend, I'll hold it for like probably whatever that death cross happens. But looking back the last time, it took a year for that, the uptrend start and the downtrend start. Trufin, look at that. So look at the chart of Trufin, right? 23 pence, the uptrend started, right? Death cross finished on 64 pence. Troubling money, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when you go out. And then it started again, the uptrend, and 78 pence. But it didn't go anywhere, it went sideways, and then 78 pence again. It went up and come back down. So you got back in at 78 pence. I was sold again at 78 pence. So that you wouldn't have lost any money, but now it's down at 63 pence. Thinking, okay, so it's fine.
Okay.
Sometimes it's not going to be perfect, but it just shows, because if you're in a range, it's gotten down, the ship has gotten down, you may see a cross happen, a few months on the line. But nevertheless, that initial move from 23 pence to 64 pence was it. They're just going over the 50-day moving average now, back up. So I think, just looking at a lot of companies, they're starting a trend. I think this is why we're close to the bottom of the market. Anyway, listen, I reckon the next bull market... I saw Steve waving then. I wonder who he's waving at. Do you know who he's waving at?
The dog.
Oh, right.
Lola's sitting on the sofa. Lola's looked at him like saying...
What the hell is that guy?
Why is he waving at me? I'm a dog, dickhead.
The dog's beige as well. I just realised that.
Yeah, the dog's actually saying, why is he waving at me? I'm a dog. I can't wave back.
I'm a dog.
I've seen a dog wave.
Yeah, I've seen a bear wave. Isn't that gif on with a bear?
Yes.
Ooh.
Right, anyway.
Anyway, do you know why the next bull... Steve's laughing there. Do you know the next bull market is going to be big? Why it's going to be bad and crazy?
Go on.
Honestly, Lola was looking at him like he was simple. The dog.
She wasn't at all.
What the hell is he waving at me for? That boy over there. He's waving at me. Is there wrong with him? Now he's gone purple. Oh, he's picked his nose, he's gone purple. Apparently, you put your finger up his nose, he goes purple.
Put my finger up my nose, I was on the outside of my nose.
Right, anyway.
That's a good body trick. Hey, girls, watch this. Picking up the nose, purple. Wow. Steve, you fancy date? So anyway, I never drink squash. Have a think. Why do I think, this is, I'm just thinking about this, but why do I think the next bull market will be amazing?
Because you're the eternal optimist. Yep.
Could be that. What are you seeing at the moment? People, workers, what are you seeing at the moment?
Employment.
I did say on Twitter, actually, it says, Rishi, give the nurses a pay rise. First of all, it's good for the NHS, okay? Because it'll attract more workers, higher wages. Second of all, it's good for the economy, because those nurses will probably spend more in the economy, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Thirdly, what he doesn't understand is that they've frozen tax thresholds, haven't they?
Yeah.
So more people, more nurses, will go into the higher tax bracket, or workers will, so they'll collect more tax, which will help the government debt. And also, inflation is good for government debt, because you inflate your way out of it. All asset prices goes up. The existing debt doesn't seem a bit of a problem. And you get growth, GDP grows. And so as a portion of GDP to debt, GDP grows. Anyway, why do I think next bull market be amazing? It's to do with that. Do with sort of nurses, what they're doing. Steve, any idea? What are the nurses doing?
No idea, no.
They're going to strike?
Yeah.
Have you noticed a lot of strikes recently?
Yeah.
Everyone's striking, aren't they? And now, what is it about? They say pay and conditions. Pay and conditions. They don't care about the conditions. It's the pay. Pay and conditions.
Yeah.
What conditions is it? Well, the conditions are, I want to be able to have more pay. That's the conditions.
Are you saying, so because of people's pay rises, they'll all flood the stock exchange and buy lots of shares?
No. So this is the thing, sort of. But listen, everyone's demanding pay increases above the current inflation rate. The current inflation rate is 10%. The average inflation rate for the last 50 years is 5%. Okay? So if you get like a, you know, 11% pay rise and interest rates go down because inflation goes down, which is going to happen, we're going to revert to normal a little bit, people will have more disposable income. And that's happening. People are getting, BT's now got an amazing pay rise. People are getting pay rises above long-term inflation rates. What does that mean? That means and interest rates will go down, so mortgage prices will go down, everything will go down pretty much, but people will have more spending power because they've got these above current inflation rates. That's not average inflation. We're double average inflation at the moment. So people are going to be getting more than double pay, you know, or inflation rises, you know. So going forward, I think in a year, year and a half time, there'll be more disposable income in the market, which may stoke inflation again, but there's a bit of worry. So I think we'll go back. We'll go through a tough period in the next sort of, you know, 6 to 12 months. After that, I think companies will have to be more efficient because their costs have gone up. They've become more efficient anyway. Then their costs will come down. So you get these companies will becoming more efficient because the input costs are, you know, so they've got rid of wastage and all that stuff. And in fact, e-energy is at the core of that, helping companies reduce their energy wastage and their efficiency and improve efficiency. Many companies will be doing this. When everything reverts back to norm, pretty much, these super efficient companies will be earning a lot more cash. The spending power of people will be up because they've had, you know, above inflation rate pay increases. So that's why the economy is going to boom. So we are going to go from now a horrible bear market, which we've been in for 18 months, to literally a booming bull market.
Yeah.
But still, you know, a rising tide will lift most boats. But if you want a speedboat, you still got to look at the good fundamentals.
Yeah.
And then also trends. So, yeah. By the way, I'll be using that... that trend thing on the S&P tracker index for my son's ISA, and it'll work very well over time. Maybe even what I'm thinking of doing is not jumping in and out, maybe, but start on the golden cross up, you know, monthly. If the death cross happens, stop.
Yeah, not pull out.
Yeah, not pull out. Stop putting money in, and then wait until that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Wait until the sell goes down again, and then only buy on that trend again. Yeah. And then that way you'll...
Why don't you make your own software that like buys and sells that automatically?
I've got software, but
I don't need that, really. What am I going to do then?
Automate the process.
Well, you sell it to people and you make loads more money.
Yeah, but listen, I'm proving this theory out. But first of all, you have to have fundamentals on individual companies first and foremost. And then it's just pairing that with actual what's happening in the market with the share price. Because like I said, you know, the share price moves because the volume... And volume is...
I'm still smiling at Steve waving at the dog, sorry.
Right. Yeah, we weren't paying attention. Steve was waving at the dog. Yeah. Right, anything else? That's it, I think, for now.
That's good.
We're going boom, battle, bar! So Steve's had a bit of practice with this before. So, you know, he's the favourite to win.
Oh, okay.
All right. Oh, they come back now. Oh.
Shh. Where's back?
Monty! Where's Monty, Meg? No. Gary? Well, we better go anyway, because Meg's just come in now, showing me key car, cars of keys. Which, listen, I'm no expert, but as far as content is concerned...
Yeah, strong.
I think that's the peak.
Yeah, strong finish.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, anything else, Steve? Anything worth watching? Oh,
World Cup's been quite good, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if you Welsh boys watched that.
Bit boring.
What?
Well, now, actually, England play some decent teams.
There you go. Yes, good point.
Because I know they've all been saying they're going to win the World Cup. But
no,
you beat Wales. Yeah. Big deal. So beat Wales. Wales are not a very football nation to try. I think Wales are dreadful. In that.
Yeah. Okay.
You beat, was it Iran?
Yeah.
Oh, big World Cup.
Yeah, big team.
And you drew against USA.
Yep. Okay. Well, the big tests are coming now, so let's see.
Yeah, but where's all this... I see Shearer and Lineker stifling laughs and smiles almost because they're so excited. I'm thinking, guys, you haven't really proved anything
yet. Yeah, but there's some good potential there.
I mean, to be fair, only them and Brazil...
Well, they got beat by Cameroon, but okay.
Oh, they have now.
Yeah.
So it's only England who's not been beaten, apparently, out of all the major sides. Is it?
No, they lost to Tunisia, didn't they?
Only England, Mont, haven't lost a game now in the World Cup. Having said that now, Senegal, they've drew, but they haven't lost.
But
Senegal, champions of Africa, now the real test comes Sunday night. Will they do it? And Steve's tip for the week of TV, Steve. I said to Steve in the week, he's 40-odd years of age.
Yeah.
He puts his Christmas tree up at 15th of November. No one lives with him. And Steve, your tip of the week for TV?
No, I'm not even going to say it.
Go on.
Go on. It's actually the highest watched programme on Netflix at the moment. It's just beating Stranger Things.
Yeah, but watched by 12-year-old girls.
Doesn't that say, Steve, there's a lot of people out there maybe with similar interests to you, that, you know, if you're single, I mean, maybe there's a lot of...
It's very well filmed.
There's a lot of sad single ladies out there watching that.
What is it, Steve?
It's Wednesday.
Right. I don't know what that is.
It's a spin-off of the Addams Family.
We did have a bit of confusion in the WhatsApp group when Steve says, I enjoyed Wednesday.
Yeah.
I said, I prefer Thursdays.
Yeah. Tuesday was better.
I said, what are you talking about?
I have not.
I said, Wednesday, but it's good. But yeah, there's a spin-off from the Addams Family, and he's got his Christmas tree up early. I think Steve... is like, needs kids. And I realise he doesn't need kids because he is a big kid.
Yeah, I really don't.
All right, Mark, you going to say anything? Say goodbye.
Hello.
So obedient.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.